just to kind of give you a quick background of what's been going on, the last couple of Sundays, Mark has been preaching about this offering that the Corinthians were supposed to be bringing. And so, I mean, basically, he changes strokes in this next chapter. He goes back to something that began all the way back in chapter 4. The Apostle Paul was defending himself, and pretty much it's in chapter 4 a little bit, but mostly in chapter 6, he begins to defend himself for preaching the gospel and the way he presents the gospel. And so here tonight, we're gonna cover just a small portion of this chapter, but it brings such a great punch. I think it brings a great punch for us, the believer. And so the Apostle Paul he returns back to his argument in chapter 10. And so I'm not even going to hold up any longer. Let's go into the scripture. In verse 1, it says, "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." Let's pray. Oh, Father, just as you had spoken to the Apostle Paul, oh, Lord God, Father, I ask that you would speak to us tonight. Father, I push myself aside to allow your Holy Spirit to come and speak boldly before us tonight, oh Lord, revealing to us, oh Lord, exactly what it is that we need to hear. Minister to us, oh Lord God. That is my cry, that you would minister to our hearts. Transform us, oh Lord, as you see fit. Not in our own particular fashions, oh Lord God, not for our own comfort, oh Lord God, but transform us and minister us right where we are. Right now, today, oh Lord, that is my cry to you, that you would minister to us right here, right now, where we are. Some of us are in different places and different levels, oh Lord God, maybe in the same place, but different levels. But oh Lord God, we're in a place where we need to hear from you. So that is my cry, oh Lord, is that I would step aside, that your Holy Spirit would come and speak boldly. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. There's one thing I would really want us to kind of take focus to. You know, the Apostle Paul talks of these weapons. He says, in verse 4, he says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons, are not the weapons of the world." He says, on the contrary, they are divine power. So to us, there are divine weapons that he is talking about here. And so what are the needs of these weapons? Well, even more so in verse 4, we kind of get an idea. The way it begins here, he says, on the contrary, I have other divine powers to demolish strongholds. He goes on even further. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We go back to verses 1 and 2. You kind of get an idea of that. Because immediately, the Apostle Paul. Well, let's just read it. I mean, he says it in itself. He says, you think that I'm timid when I'm face to face with you, or when I'm bold when I'm away. Basically, there was some in the church that was calling the Apostle Paul a coward. That's rough. Now, I'm quite sure that most of the Corinthians knew what kind of past the Apostle Paul has. So they already know that this is the last person I'd be wanting to call timid, since he used to slay Christians. He used to put them in prison. So how? Why? Well, of course, they were trying to belittle Paul. Matter of fact, to the point of discrediting him in all of his teachings. And so we get a really good, he starts off with this paragraph in this letter, because this is all one, generally one big letter, and this is just another segment of the letter. I don't believe it's a separate letter. I believe this is just one general letter through the entire 2 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul has written. And this is just a small segment of it, where he's addressing the fact that there are some that are in the Corinthian church that, oh man, they're trying to discredit him, and they're trying to say that he's just this small guy who's scared to speak in front of people or scared to be bold, you know, in front of them. But I've learned through the years that that's not always a good thing. And the Apostle Paul even makes that statement. He makes it in his letter. He tells them that, he says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Basically, the Apostle Paul, when you think about it, when we go out, if you're really trying to make a point, and you do it to the point to where you're very harsh about it in front of them, and you're forceful about it in front of them, how well do you think it's taken? It's not at all, is it? And so that's what the Apostle Paul was getting at. He really doesn't want to come and be that bold guy in front of you, because many of you may, he's already kind of tough on you in his letter. You don't want him to come and be just as tough. So he kind of works as the Spirit allows him to. He's bold when he's awake, because he can be, but he comes with the humility and gentleness that he should when he's before them. Of course, there are some others who don't really see that. And so immediately up front, we get the idea of why we need these divine weapons. The Apostle Paul says there are those there who are, they're starting arguments, period. They're starting arguments because they're trying to break him. They're trying to ruin. Are you going upstairs or not? Go outside and go play. Go outside and go play. Go ahead. They're not in here. Anyway, so these weapons that are needed, as we can see. Kid threw me off, y'all. I'm sorry. He lost me. The weapons that we need is because even here for the Apostle Paul, they were trying to belittle him. They were trying to basically just start arguments. You know, they were just really trying to break him and lose his credibility with the rest of the Corinthian church. And so, what are these weapons? Scripture really doesn't tell us right here. They just tell us that the weapons that he does use are of divine power. Well, we already know that Scripture says that they are not of this world. So if you don't mind joining me, go ahead on and go to Ephesians chapter 6 so we can get an idea of what these weapons are. You know, these divine weapons that the Apostle Paul is talking about he needs to use. Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, sir. So if I can, gee, you look like you're already there. Won't you read verses 14 through 17? And so we get an idea. What's great about this is what Miss Kristen taught on Wednesday night. I know y'all weren't here for that. Well, y'all were here for that. So this is what she taught on Wednesday night. So it's right up the alley here. You know, G, go ahead. Stop, please. Stop. So you get the idea. Here are our weapons. Here's the divine weapons that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, his feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he added something extra. He says, you know, to pray in the Spirit on everything. It says in the NIV, all occasions, right? And so here we are. We have just gotten laid out the weapons that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. These are his divine weapons. These are the weapons that he has been equipped with. God has equipped him with these weapons. Why? Because there are those, we see it in Scripture today, that are those out there that are ready to bring up arguments, to belittle him, to discredit him. And those, it's not a physical fight that he's getting into. It's a spiritual battle that he's in. And what I love about that, he says there's a need for these weapons. And there is a need. Look with me if you can where he says the need for these weapons here are. He says in verse 5, we're going to start in verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. First of all, we take captive of every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Well, for me, before I go deeper into this, when he talks about taking every thought captive, it makes you wonder, what could he mean by that? Well, their thoughts of anger, the thoughts of lust, the thoughts of envy, the thoughts of bitterness, the thoughts of evil. Those are the thoughts that need to be taken captive of. And I can say that. Just so happens today you mentioned something from the pulpit about how God's word kind of seems like puts you in a position. Well, I was shaking my hand back there in the sound booth because of everything that was going on. I had got to the point while I was studying the scripture that I was feeling inadequate about being a youth minister because of displacement and just hard to be ready for things. And so I was just having a pity party. You know, that's what it boiled down to. And when I started really digging into this scripture, those aren't the thoughts God wants me to have. He don't want me to feel inadequate. It's not in my own strength anyway. You know, it's not my strength that makes me any kind of a minister in the first place. It's the work that he's doing through me. And so immediately those thoughts I had to take captive of. I couldn't lean on that. I couldn't feel that I felt inadequate. I couldn't lean on feeling that way. I couldn't let those thoughts continue to reign in me. But yet and still, my focus is supposed to be and should be on Christ. When he tells us to take those thoughts captive, those thoughts that do, that kind of bring us down the wrong road, he wants us to take them captive because hell, he wants our focus to be on Christ. That's where our focus should be. And so when it finally dawned on me that this is exactly what the apostle was talking about, I got really excited, y'all. I mean, I was like, oh man, you kidding me? That's why I'm having all this trouble. I'm thinking about the wrong thing. I should be thinking about God's word and how it ministers to me. I should be thinking about Christ in the work that he does in me. You see, even the Apostle Paul knew that with all these divine weapons that he has, he is ineffective if he lets his thoughts not be captive. His focus needed to be on Christ for those divine weapons that he has been equipped with could be of any use. Otherwise, he falls into the thoughts that he has. Keep in mind that this argument's been going on longer than this front page, but it's been going on for a few chapters. And so, like anyone else, Paul is flesh and blood. So if he didn't give captive to those thoughts, he would actually fall into those things. He would always feel inadequate in the ministry. He would always feel that his word, the words that he was preaching, were incorrect, or he would doubt everything that he preached. But the Apostle Paul did not fall into that. He laid captive his thoughts and kept his focus on Christ. Think about it. The man who was in prison, what did he do? He praised God the entire time. He praised God. No matter what church he traveled to during this time, his whole deal was that the people or those churches would be equipped with the gospel that he stood for, the gospel that he believed in, the gospel of truth. And so it was right for him to say what he said. Although he has these divine weapons, they're ineffective without laying captive to my thoughts and keeping my focus on Christ. What did this cause? This caused for him an act of obedience. When we think about it, if we don't give in to our thoughts of greed or whatever it may be, if we don't give in to those thoughts and we keep our focus on Christ, how much easier it is to walk in obedience to the gospel that God has given us an understanding to. So for even us today, and I really truly believe that this is really intended for us. And I'll share that with you in a little bit. For us today, we really do need to lay captive our thoughts. And there's a great reason behind that. If we're keeping our focus on Christ, then the understanding of the gospel comes much clearer. Not only does the understanding come much clearer, but our obedience to the gospel becomes very easy instead of it being like really hard labor. Ever been there before? Man, I know this is not what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I'm not going to do it because the Bible says not to do it. And instead of it being just a regular action that we know if we're being obedient to the gospel, it should come fluently and not like work, not like hard labor. That's what the Apostle Paul wants us to do. It's the reason why he says, you know, we need to lay captive to our thoughts. And it gets even better than that. Romans 12:2. Somebody turn there for me, please. Gives us some more reasons why we shouldn't lay captive. We should lay captive our thoughts. When somebody gets there, could you let me know if you want to read? I'd be more than happy to. J Mac, you there? Read 12:2 for us, please, sir. So you know what? If our thoughts are laid captive and our focus is on Christ, you know how much easier this is? You know how much easier this one verse is? But I got another one. I'm not done yet. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is trying to equip this here, y'all. I mean, he really is. You know, these divine weapons that we receive, and we know this because we just read it in Ephesians. Well, in order for those weapons to be more effective, our thought process needs to be effective. Who's there? Who's ready for me? Who wants to read 1 Peter? Come on, Ms. Pat. Verses 14 through 15. Whew. Another reason for us to lay captive our thoughts. Why? Because again, even here, call to an obedience. So if our focus is on Christ, and not on our thoughts, then it's, again, makes it real easy for us to be obedient. But these divine weapons, and I keep going back to these divine weapons because that's really why we need to have our thoughts clear and in good measure. Because the Apostle Paul says something here towards the end. He says this. He says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You know, when I first read that, man, I wish I could take this thing off here. When I first read that, I really didn't get it. I really didn't. And I'm like, what? I knew it wasn't a physical kind of punishment that he was talking about. I knew it wasn't that. But I knew it was, I mean, he's got a point here, but I really didn't get it. I mean, when we look at it, we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. And so, when we lay captive our thoughts, and when our focus is on Christ, his divine weapons that he gives us equips us to be able to withstand the enemy. But what it also does, as a body of believers, just as the Apostle Paul, because I want to notice something he said, we. So it wasn't just him by himself. But the majority of the Corinthian church who fell into obedience to Christ would have this thing where those who were still kind of throwing their arguments out off the side or still trying to bring down Paul, well, they would see that the rest of the church is walking in obedience, which would cause those who are aiming at Paul or trying to bring Paul down, or for that matter, trying to discredit him in anything, well, they would see the obedience of these other believers, which would in turn bring some punishment on those. It would make them realize, not a physical punishment, but it would make them realize that what they are doing is against the will of God. And two things will come from that. Either they will fall to an obedience, they would repent, and they would probably, you know, confess their sin and repent, and then fall into an act of obedience, or they would wind up leaving the church. And we all know in this time period, church discipline, we know from 1 Corinthians, was something that Paul was really strong and passionate about. So as the rest of the church would fall into obedience, sooner or later, that person who still rebelled and wanted to see the Apostle Paul or anyone discredited for believing in the truth, believing in the Word of God, well, what will wind up happening is they will see that they were all alone by themselves and they will want to leave. Or they will come to a place where they would be confessing their sin, repenting, and receiving the salvation that everyone else has received, the salvation of Christ. And so you see, those divine weapons won't be just equipped by the Apostle Paul, but they would be equipped by an entire church. We already know that the enemy is always seeking for someone to devour. He's always on the prowl. He'll use anyone to get his way. And so God equips us with these divine weapons to protect us, not just as individuals, but us as a church. Because may be some sheep. There may be some wolves in sheep's clothing is what I really wanted to say. That may be dwelling among us. I'm not saying here right now. But they may. And if they are, those divine weapons that God gives you as he gives his church, will protect us. Not just one of us, but all of us. And the reason why I say it in that fashion is because the Apostle Paul used we a lot in these little few verses. He used we. He says, for we live in the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive. We. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Is he talking just about himself here? No. He's talking about his fellow brothers, yes. But he's also talking about the Corinthian church. So, guess who else he's talking about? He's talking about us. He's talking about us. We need to lay captive. When he said that, he wasn't just generally talking about himself. He's not the only one that's being ambushed from every side. He's not the only one that's being challenged. How many times you get knocking around but being a godly man in the workplace. I know I get it all the time. How many times you're laughed at for doing things that a believer should be doing instead of what the rest of the world is doing? How many times you're ridiculed for that? So it is we, us. He's talking about us here. And if that don't do it for you, J-Mac, go to James chapter 5 for me. So here it is. We got one brother or sister who's kind of stumbling and falling off the path. Instead of him bringing down the entire church because none of us want a captive of our thoughts, none of us have this divine power or these divine weapons that God has given us. If we all don't have that, that one person will be like a rash in the church. Anybody had chicken pox in here? Everybody's had chicken pox, right? Spreads like wildflower, don't it? Gets kind of crazy. That's how it would be in the church. It starts off small, and then it's just like cancer, man. It spreads like crazy. But because God has equipped us, and we have captured our thoughts, you know, that brother that's falling off the path, you know, we're called to restore him, catch him, bring him back up. You know, I say it all the time to our students, you know, we're here for one another. We're here to take care of one another, care for one another, to lift each other up. But by all means, when one of us have fallen off the path, the rest of the church is supposed to pick him up. That's what it takes. Why? Because God has given us these weapons, these divine weapons, so that when our thoughts are captive, man, it's like crazy. Because my focus is on Christ, and I know that he's falling down there, then you know what? Come on, brother, we're going to help you out here a little bit. We're going to pick you up. We're going to restore you. We're going to bring you back to restoration area. 1 Thessalonians says this in chapter 5, verse 14. He says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. I'm saying that again. Be patient with everyone. So again, Apostle Paul comes and he shares this part of his letter about these divine weapons. The reason why we need the divine weapons. And then he really doesn't just talk about himself here, but that we need them. The Corinthian church needs them. Because we are supposed to be taking care of one another. That when one of us falls or becomes disruptive, as it says here, when one of us are weaker, we're supposed to be caring for them. How? Remember I told you that the enemy is like a lion. He's just seeking for somebody to devour. So if you got that weak little link in there, you know, you ever seen a cub when it weighs away from its herd? What does the lion do? He captures that bad boy. He's lunch. And so God has equipped us with some divine weapons Yes, we're like soldiers. That's true. Soldiers wear armor. Okay? But he's given us these weapons for a reason. So that we can care for one another, protect one another, to keep each other lifted up as a church body. Yes, you also as an individual. But corporately, as a church body. The Apostle Paul not once said, I myself. He kept addressing as we. We need these things. I would believe today that the Apostle Paul is speaking directly to us. Because we know that the enemy is a professional at what he does. I just shared with you a little while ago how easily it can happen. All he's got to do is consume your thought life. That's it. Consume your thought life. And then we're bad about this because we'll really start focusing on that instead of focusing on Christ. That's why scripture always tells us that we need to be confessing things to one another. Because once you do that, then the rest of the body would eventually know that you need to be lifted up in prayer. That you need to be ministered to. That you might need some extra scripture to be reading. That may not come from the pastor. That may come from any member of the church. Because their focus has been on Christ. They have their breastplate on and their helmet on. They've been sinking their feet deep into God's word. They've been spending plenty of time in prayer. You see, these aren't physical weapons, so I don't need to be throwing them around. I don't need to be swinging them like a hatchet. They're not those kind of weapons. They're divine. God wants us to be in his word so that we'll be ready. He wants us praying as individuals for the body of believers. Pray for your church. I hate to tell you all this, but we're all in this together. We're the body of Christ. We're all in this together. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, we're all in this together. No matter how you look at it. So that's it. Ain't much more to add to that. Let's pray.